Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Morning.
Good morning, it's Running Commentary. It's our first run of October, and we are, of course,
down Hampstead Heath.
Just very
having a little trot.
You'd have to ask yourself how much more autumnal it could
this
be.
Morning, yeah. It's very mellow weather conditions, isn't it?
It's really nice.
Yeah.
Which brings us quite quickly to one of our key subjects of the week, because I got up on Sunday morning to head down to the London Marathon. I think everyone at that stage had heard, stroke was assuming, it was going to rain.
Yes.
It was very kind of limpid and still, really nice running weather, quite like this.
Yeah.
And we thought it was going to rain in a minute. And it was so beautiful that it never did, and then the sun came out.
Incredible, yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. You have a good morning. You were doing a bit of radio.
Yeah, I was with Robert
Elms. On the socials. Yeah.
On London Live.
Fantastic.
And I knew...
So tell us about it. What was happening?
Well, they basically were looking for a London Marathon regular who wasn't running it to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I didn't find out until the last, you know, just before it happened, that we were going to be on the Cutty Sark.
Oh, nice.
It's just fantastic. I mean, we're literally on deck. We're on the poop deck.
Nice.
Which is where I've been this morning, by the way. Sorry, I was late.
Yeah.
And just in the scoop of the marathon there at Greenwich, and you know, you've been, it's just, it is
it's a great stage of the race.
It's so exciting. It's basically the end of the beginning. I don't suppose.
It's sort of about, is it about 10K in? I'm not that.
Exactly. Excited. It's maybe a bit longer, maybe 7 miles, but it's basically the first. It's the end of phase one. It's the end of chapter one.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's right near the start. So all the friends and relatives and actually the community, that's where they are, you know.
Yeah.
And I love the way it is. It's Churchill-esque. It's the end of the beginning, you know. So sure, you've got plenty more marathon to run. But on the other hand, you've run 10K.
And
you're not on the start line anymore.
And you found your flow, haven't you?
You found
you're
a rhythm.
In your flow by then, yeah.
And there's TV cameras, there's music, and everyone's going, yeah!
Yeah.
And it's such a place to be anyway. And it was just an incredible experience to see it from the other side. It really was. The closest thing, have you ever been a spectator at a marathon?
I'm trying to think now. I don't know whether I have in terms of actually gone down there. No.
I don't think I've been to a marathon I wasn't running
ever
before. And, of course, my family have. All my families have. And my wife's talked to me about it quite a lot. I remember her laughing at herself last year, which obviously had the added spice for a regular marathon goer. Oh, look, there's people swimming over here. Sorry, just looking at the pictures. I think that's the men's pool. They're swimming in that pond. And then look at this tree here. Talking about autumn. It's like about 6 different fantastic colours. And berries. That's incredible.
It's very fall.
Yeah, I remember my wife saying last year how she was sort of laughing at herself because she's just crying. You just look at these people. Of course, that's at 17 miles, so you're looking
it's a
at
bit more intense
stories
then,
being beginning to really tell themselves.
Yeah.
Know? And so Cutty Sark is a
bit more optimistic
version of that. But having said that, that's exactly what happened to me. Because it was work, because I was there, you know, to talk.
To commentate.
And got up in the morning. I was out late enough for it. I said to my wife, I can't believe I'm going to be home so late. Got it up so early in the morning. And she was like, yeah, but think about what you're doing. I was like, you make an excellent point.
Yeah.
And
you've also done that before and run a marathon, haven't you, as well?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was quite easy. But, yeah, standing on the cutting site, so you're sort of elevated, looking down at the runners coming through. I was actually videoing the deck to show my family and of the boat.
Yeah.
And spun around and saw the elite men, like the front runners, coming through. Amazing. And got them on video. I was like, oh, my God, it's so exciting.
Bounding through like gazelles. Yeah.
I started watching. And, you just cry. It's just so moving.
Yeah.
You watch runners and you see basically everything we always say. You're watching it live. This huge mass of humanity in motion, which is woven from 40,000 individual incredible stories, each of which would be quite moving enough in its own right. You know what I mean?
Collectively, yeah.
And then people dressed up as stuff.
Yeah. And everyone running in that different way, and I don't know, there's something, yeah.
Although I was slightly amused. Share a thought with everyone, Morning Magpie, who is like me, maybe doesn't have the quintessential body shape, and indeed, you know, women and whoever else at the beginning there of the race, just watching the run and going, oh, so it's all just tall, skinny guys.
Right.
That's who runs the marathon.
Yeah.
The first.
An awful lot of that.
Yeah. And then part of that is funneling in the waves and stuff, but there's just these tall, skinny boats going,
bouncing along really light.
Yeah. If any of them had even medium length hair, you're like, whoa, who's this guy?
Yeah, well, it's drag, isn't it?
It's just laying right down.
It's just weighing you down.
In fact, it was pulling his head right back. Yeah. Like this. Oh, what was I thinking? Anybody got some brill cream?
Yeah.
But yeah, just a really beautiful thing. And I tried to see, I was watching everyone go past, looking at all the faces, looking at all the people, thinking it was ridiculous, but trying to spot someone we knew, whether it's just a friend from, you know, the socials who's running it, or one of the celebs, or whoever else. Didn't see anyone. It was all the better for it, but I did a few, but I was quite far away, but checked in with a few people, gave them the wave, and it made your eyes go funny.
Yeah.
With that height, all those people flying past, I'd be watching.
And try to find people in the crowd and stuff,
yeah. Yeah, and then you look away. I was looking at, like, the radio equipment, and it was, like, sliding across the road.
Did
like,
you tell them that? Stop! I'm feeling sick! Stop running!
I just leant over the side. Yeah. But the funny thing about that was it was really making my eyes go horribly wrong. But I couldn't stop. Couldn't stop watching. It's like, they'll get better. Keep watching.
So was it chat with Mr. Elm?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was asking.
Chat and celebration.
About the marathon and what it's like. But then it was quite nice for me because he'd had someone from Runner's World on to give the kind of technical lowdown. So I had lots of space to go.
It's so lovely.
Yeah. Look, there's someone dressed as a bear.
Yeah. A bit more fun with it.
Yeah.
You had one guy who was on a bet to lead the London Marathon from there. Have you seen that? That was good fun.
It was funny because that went round and was like, look at this guy. But we'd had the message slightly earlier from someone saying, my mate said he was going to lead it for a bit. I thought he was joking.
Yeah.
Lee sent a message and the guy who did it was Richard and still finished it in 3:23.
So. Yeah, he did. I know one of my Heath side mates was determined to lead it one year and he managed to get to the front. It's hard though because you're starting.
You're not
obviously elite men run really fast anyway.
Yeah.
And you're starting behind them because you're not an elite man. So you've got to really leg it for the first 600 metres.
Yeah. And then run a marathon.
But fun, yeah. I can imagine that getting quite competitive, actually. I can imagine that becoming like a little race within a race.
Yeah, a bit like the old, you think it's going to be fun and they're doing it in costume.
Yeah.
You think, oh, this will be a lark. And then you realise there's quite a lot of people thought, well, we thought this would be a lark.
Yeah.
And now it's a race and a ridiculous subculture.
It's like the race to the first corner of a cross-country race when you're a kid.
I can understand.
Yeah.
It's when this guy's story of going off fast in the marathon went round. People thought of me.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, not quite as extreme.
What's the What are you seeing, Lake? What are you seeing? So it was really lovely. And then the whole thing of being on the, coming back on DLR, just the organisation of it. You know, there's so many people. You're queuing to get into the station, but they just funnel you in and you flow onto the Docklands Light Railway. And in the queue, I got talking to this woman. She's zipping around London, seeing her daughter at different points.
Nice.
Her daughter's in her early 20s. She's, you know, she had a sort of year off and a university degree all sort of lined up, and it's all done now, but it was all messed up by COVID and her dad dying.
Oh dear.
So she's out there running in his memory, you know.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, so sad but so beautiful, just quintessential London Marathon stuff. And and that's what's happening in the crowds, you know. These are the stories we're bonding over. And then everyone, and then you go along on the DLR and you see the marathon underneath you coming round, backs and forwards. It's incredibly exciting. The doors of the train open and you can hear, And then I was all made up about that, went home and had lunch and saw the family and everything. And we were in town again later on, seeing a film on the South Bank. Got out at Embankment. Of course.
There's people still running.
There's people finishing. People going in under the bridge.
Yeah.
And they're like, I was like, oh my God, it's still. Sorry, darling, I'm crying again.
Yeah.
That was so beautiful. And these people are people who've, you know, they're, it wasn't, we're not talking about stragglers here. We're talking about people who've been running all day.
Yeah.
They've queued and queued to get through the start line.
Yeah.
And then they might have.
Because they're stuck at the start more this year, didn't
exactly.
they?
Exactly. So, what time we're talking? It's about sort of 5 o'clock. Those people are, well, they're just more marathon runners, you know.
Yeah.
And at least the crowd's there for them. I mean, the atmosphere is still just
amazing.
Yeah. And, brand new experience for me. And a really emotional one.
We should do the tail end of the marathon.
Do you think, I mean, this is something I was kind of maybe saving up to talk about on Saturday, but I think that Parkrun has had a really good influence on this, because I think some of the dialogue online about the London Marathon, quite a lot of it was pure celebration of the final finishers and the tail walkers.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere at the finish line there, it just felt like a thing. Whereas even just a couple of years ago before lockdown, we obviously, you know, everyone loves people coming in last, but there was a drama about
the cut-off point
and just a bad attitude on the streets, like, go on, you're in the way now. I feel like tail walking, just the concept, just the word, has been popularised by Parkrun.
And mate, and also
people can, and that in turn is, you're just spotting something that's already there. Everyone, those people on the sidelines support everyone in the marathon. If they don't, if there's any favouritism, they favour people who need support.
Yeah.
Whatever, even if those are super fast runners who've kind of broken themselves, or runners who are really limping or whatever, you know, these are the people the spectators love the most.
Yeah.
Because they want to help them home. So
they see themselves broken on the tarmac.
It's a mirror of my humanity. Yes. Don't go that way, we'll come off the heath.
Right.
And
maybe there's a softness post-pandemic as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the Parkrun has affected.
I think it's just right there. There's a sense of kind of give it a name. Do you know what I mean? Everyone would always have been happy to support the final runners to finish.
Yeah.
There's just a format for it now.
Yeah.
You know? Because I think it's shifting as well. I think the sense of celebrating, like you say, maybe it's just the way people are now. Maybe it's the internet. It's always been about individuals and charity, fundraising, silly costumes, people who have a bad run but still make it. It just feels like now everyone knows that, whereas it used to be a bit of a side order after the athletics results. You know?
No, you're right.
Anyway, as you can see, it's vibed me right up. And really selfishly, I've been looking for some blooming motivation for my coming marathons, and I'm hoping that this experience is going to make me see it differently.
How are you feeling about it? You did your last long run last week, did you?
Yeah, I went out on Thursday and ran 22 miles.
Yeah.
Felt good.
Right.
Felt really good. Didn't, still had more in me. Got home, you know, just carried on with my day. I think that's a real signifier, isn't it, when you do a long run?
Yeah.
You can only judge it by how you feel when you get in, whether you're done or not.
That's obviously strong, though, to do 22 and feel okay.
Yeah, I think that the thing that worries me is, of course, I didn't do it wildly quickly.
Yeah.
I kept a good pace.
Well, that's fair enough,
steady.
Though.
I'm getting a picture.
You don't want to, it's not about, it's just about time on your feet, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And I have been doing the fast running, you know, it's been all about parkrun this last few weeks. I don't think we've recorded since I did that fast parkrun in, I mean, I don't think we've talked about it, my fast parkrun in Worcester, me and you with the view
just
behind
over.
It was
just over 20 minutes, weren't you?
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah, brilliant.
Which is my, is it my fastest parkrun this year?
I think it might be.
It's up there anyway, it's right up there.
Yeah.
And then came back home to Highbury on Saturday, you know, straight after the long run, basically. And I had been thinking, oh, I'll come back to Highbury and it'll be great, it'll be like a massive return and I'll do it faster than ever before. And I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I was tired from the long run.
Of course. Yeah.
And because I was feeling quite rough.
Of course you were tired. You know.
But actually, I did it faster. I'm still faster. So I really felt absolute clarity on being
fitness,
fit and fast in the
yes.
long game.
Yeah.
And topically tired in the short game. You know.
Yeah.
Which in turn is inspiration.
Topically
to take
tired. Right? It's the new quiz show. Topically tired.
Are you tired?
Yes, I am.
We're tired of all the topics.
We'll be back after
topically
the break.
Tired.
So what about the energy? Topically tired.
I've got no energy for me.
You need the toilet port.
Never mind.
Topically
tired.
What's going on with the yurts in front of Kenwood House? I'm going to talk about it, but not yet.
It's the new show, Topically Tired, from Kenwood House.
Kenwood House. We're Topically Tired. This game show's not working. Why not? Contestants are asleep.
Miles, Jupp has a snooze on Topically Tired.
And
so you're in good shape.
This is called Now the Light Gets In. That's what's going on with the yurts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How the light gets in. Sorry. So it's probably going to be some Christmas lights, autumn, you know, one of those things. Back in the day, ever came across those lovely autumnal lights experiences was when my brilliant wife would be on tour somewhere and the kids would be tiny.
Yeah.
And she'd say, they come up because it's my birthday, and it being my birthday, it's the end of November.
Right.
You say they're doing this. I'm going to Botanic Gardens in Birmingham, Morning Magpie. And it's like this magical walk in the darkness with all the lights. I think they're really popular now, but she could always find them, you know, because she was always good at finding kids' activities in other cities.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Nice.
That stuff. Particularly as someone who used to hang around in darkened gardens looking at all the pretty lights as a young man. Sometimes pretty lights that weren't actually there. So, yeah, fast park runs.
Feeling strong.
Run. Started fundraising, which is great, you know, the people are so lovely. And it was my dad's, would have been my dad's 80th last week.
Right.
So that was a great moment to launch. And, of course, just like the people on those sidelines in the marathon, you suddenly remember how nice people are. You know, people want that. They want to share your journey with you. Like Helen was saying last week.
Yes, who did really well.
She did it.
She got her goal time.
Yeah, she called
4:15,
it silver, but I think it's pretty blooming gold.
Yeah, I think she did really well.
I think that pink she said sub-4, but really, I'm going to patronisingly change it. But she was sort of saying 4:20
because initially she was talking about 4:15, wasn't she?
Yeah, and she got 4:15.
Yeah, she absolutely did.
So that's the goal.
Yeah.
She was 4:14 something.
Yeah, she did
having
really
done
well.
It the year before in 5:55.
Yeah.
So she beat her PB by 100 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, if you beat a PB by
100 minutes,
it's just a half marathon time.
That's a good day.
It's really
and
good.
Now and now she's topically tired.
Topically tired. Yeah.
Post-marathon.
How are you feeling, Helen?
Round one on topically tired. So she's had and you could tell she was due a good run. She'd done all the prep, hadn't she? She was in good shape.
She knew it. Yeah. She was keeping
you could see the
wasn't
confidence.
She was foolish or overconfident. She knew in her heart of hearts that she had it.
You know when you've earned it, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well that's done. Right. Well done.
And that's a nice feeling when you're out there, when you talking about doing it differently. This feels like an ultra feeling rather than a marathon feeling. That feeling, although maybe in a different way it describes your sub three, is when you get to that point, however early on it is, when you think for better or worse, I've got this, I'm going to make this.
I mean, yeah, I'm going for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Which brings us to York!
Yes.
And how are you feeling?
Well, I feel good.
About the time.
I want to do it at a good pace. I think I can. I've been trying to train sensibly.
Yeah.
I took two new water bottles out in the long run, those ones you hold in your fingers like knuckle dusters.
All right, yeah.
I thought it'd be a good way to help my posture.
Right.
And carry my water. It didn't work very well. Very hard to drink out of.
Okay.
So that was not a brilliant experiment.
But well, it was a good experiment in that you tried it and
I've done it,
worked it out. Yeah.
And they were quite good for my posture. I just worry about when I run long, my left arm starts to hurt and I start to hold it really rubbishly.
Right.
Which is
starting to hunker down a bit.
Yeah, and it's bad for marathons. Also, kind of terrifying in a long game of life. But I'm going to get on top of that stuff.
Well, there's a certain amount of entropy sets in most people's bodies towards the end of a marathon. Do you know
what
I mean? There's little bits of asymmetrical movement.
Yeah, or sometimes quite big bits.
Yeah, they get more pronounced the longer you do it.
I've been very worried about that reminds me of being really worried about a very lopsided runner towards the end of the Yorkshire Marathon a couple of years ago, which of course, no problem if that's who you are, but I'm fairly sure it was a marathon-induced bout of one-sidedness. Which is,
oh, yeah, that's not good.
That's very worrying. But, yeah, a few people, I was chatting with people online today about the Yorkshire Marathon. Of course, it always has to be said, there are other events, other marathons and other events on
yes,
there,
of course.
Including the Metric Marathon. Do you hear about the Metric Marathon?
No, what's happening? What is the Metric Marathon?
About this, right?
Yeah.
It was in Chester, same time as the Chester half, Chester Marathon, I think.
Yeah.
And the Metric Marathon is 26, well, it said on the thing, 26.6 kilometres.
Right.
Now, first of all, this way, surely they mean 26.2.
You'd have thought so.
Because that's kind of...
I mean, it's a bit of a stretch anyway.
Yeah.
But if you're going to stretch, you might as well at least get the metrics
right. But maybe
right.
That was a misprint. And then it's 26.2, and the idea is that it's like a step between a half and a marathon.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, congratulations to anyone who did it. And that's a good running distance. I mean, what are we talking? We're talking about 19 miles? But really, what's that all about?
Yeah, it's 26 is... Yeah, it's about 19, yeah.
Yeah. So not 20.
No, 20 is 12, isn't it? Yeah, it's about 17, 18 miles. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'd go out and do that and think, yeah, but I haven't run 20.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I don't want to be pedantic. That's not a marathon either, is it? I mean, call me old school.
No, I mean, and we're
leaving. What with a marathon being 42 kilometres?
I feel like we're sneaking around this, having a good old slag off of this concept. No, let it go. Because they're leaning so hard on that alliteration.
Yeah.
Because at best, it's kilometric.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's not a marathon, is it?
No. What is that event?
It's a kilometric, not a marathon.
Right.
And yeah, coming right back to the 26.6, I mean, put a cherry on the top of the what the hell is this?
Yeah.
But maybe I just read the wrong website.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you did that on Sunday,
well done.
Just very good, same.
Oh, it's still a good run.
Yeah, it's like the London Marathon. Good, go for it. Brilliant. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
And it was the Loch Ness Marathon. That always looks amazing.
Yeah.
And of course, often, you know, this is the season, so... There are important, for example, I know there's a very important 10K on the day of the Yorkshire Marathon.
Looking forward to that. Try to lose weight for it. Haven't had the speed sessions that I wanted. But I'm feeling quite... I'm looking forward to it. I'm feeling like I'm running quite strongly.
Yeah.
So, and the weight, losing weight just makes you feel so much better.
Yeah.
I can feel that coming off, so...
What's your weight loss regimen?
Well, my absolute tip-top fighting weight is under 12 stone.
Yeah.
I'm nowhere near that. But my average...
Me too, strangely, considering how quite radically different body shapes.
But my average weight post-pandemic has been about 13. And I'm now just under 12 and a half.
Yeah.
So you just feel it. You just feel a bit lighter.
Yeah.
You're just running a bit better.
But how did you... How?
It falls off very easily for me if I just...
Dodo biscuits.
Just don't drink for 5-6 days.
Yeah, yeah.
And just eat less chocolate and stuff and go for a few runs. My weight is highly variable.
Yeah.
But easy to lose.
Well, that's good, particularly because it does get a little bit more metabolically, challenging as one gets older.
Yes.
I'd like to lose a little weight, obviously. I've only got a week and a half now.
Right.
But I haven't had a drink in 3 days.
Right.
Woohoo!
But you immediately feel a difference, though.
Yeah.
Well, I do, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think the key thing, I was talking to the guy from Runner's World about this. I think, by the way, I've got an article in Runner's World. I know Paul always has.
Oh, well done.
But
okay.
You guys need to get this month's edition, because they're both in there. But,
cool.
Well,
then what...
It's about music. It's pro running, listening to music.
Cool. Awesome.
And they've got a supplement on that, a feature on it. Oh, anyway.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's fun, because, of course, it's all pros and cons. And
yeah.
I know every time I talk about it, people are thinking, I wouldn't do that. No, you wouldn't, and I get that. And it's good to air
just
that conversation.
Your thing. Yeah, yeah.
But we were chatting on the Cutty Sark, and I said, ahoy! And he said, arr, I see the Spanish Main. And I said, ah, and I vomited copiously. Anyway, I think the first, you say you feel it immediately.
Yeah.
I think it's really basic. I just think when you don't drink, you sleep better.
Yep.
And I think
absolutely,
on,
yeah.
In real life, particularly on school days, that can be slightly obfuscated by the fact that when you get up really early, when you've been sleeping well,
yeah, just
it's brutal.
You just feel so much better, don't you?
Yeah.
Rob,
well, about half an hour later.
I'm going to have to make a visitation to
I'll wait right
some sort
here.
Of area. Yeah.
I won't take a photo of you going off into the bushes.
Topically tired.
There he goes, seeking cover.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It was you, wasn't it? That dog was onto you.
The two dogs, yeah, they're hilarious, yeah. Come back! They were so funny.
I think the dog in the red jumper, all over dog bodysuit red jumper, it's like a little poodle going... I think that it thought they were playing a game of no this way.
Yeah.
No, this way.
No, it was funny. It was
there was
two
also,
of them.
Oh, there's a bloke in the woods there. No, this way. There's a bloke. There's a guy in the woods.
Yeah. He's having a... Oh, no, this way.
We can smell it. No, this way.
Irate owner and two really snappy little
irate
dogs.
Yet strangely patient. Yeah. In the short time we heard her, she said no this way 36 times.
No.
Let's have a game of no this way.
No this way.
So, here's the big question I want to ask you. You finished the Scarborough 10K.
Yeah.
Is that when you're going to make a solid decision regarding the MDS?
Well, I mean, I haven't heard back from the MDS.
Right.
I don't know whether they're going to give me a play. He said, I'm meeting my publishers tomorrow, actually.
Yes.
And I'm probably going to say, I quite like to do an event that might be a bit more fun or less sort of desert orientated, maybe. We'll see.
Let's
I'm going to have a chat with them. Not that, you know, just sort of, I don't know, just an alternative event possibly. Because I'm not in a position to pay for it.
Yeah.
The MDS. It's very expensive.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I totally understand if I'm not sort of high-end enough to just give me a place. I get that as well.
Well, also, yeah, and you've got to justify it, haven't you? It's a bit like getting a charity place and having to get the money. You've got to, ultimately, you've got to stand a fair chance of doing the run.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it's from here still, I think that it's something you could do or not do. It's just that, weirdly, it's now, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
The event is months away, but the...
Yeah, the training's now, yeah.
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 It's past the Vale of Health. There goes a very big fancy car.
But the... I'm not looking beyond the coastal 10K just to have a bit of fun, really.
Just to see where
it's at. Just enjoy it, yeah. Just enjoy it.
I arranged permission to go into America yesterday.
All right.
I got my Esther.
Oh,
Esther.
Yes.
Nice. I had to talk to a dog online. So what do you have for breakfast? Sausages. What form do you want to fill in? Esther.
Yeah. It can be a bit...
That's a good Dalmatian up ahead.
It can be a bit painful, that one. Yeah. So, but you're in anyway for New York.
Yeah, we're set. I'm in dialogue with the Michael J. Fox Foundation.
Right.
I've got my place to stay just near Staten Island Ferry. I'm booked on the ferry to the start. Never been on the Staten Island Ferry. You know, like in the movies.
Yeah, that Staten Island Ferry is lovely.
It's quite exciting.
Yeah.
All I've got to do in New York is run it better than last time. That's the least of my worries.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And have you been gigging much?
Yeah, I did.
Training the boards.
The new gig in Brighton, The Forge.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
It's a fantastic room.
Is it really?
Yeah, really nice place to do a gig. Felt like such a superstar. It's got kind of quite a big stage, Morning Magpie, but not too big.
Right.
You're just kind of nicely positioned there in the middle of the room with the audience on three sides.
Yeah.
And it's the stage to audience ratio is such that it just makes you feel like a rock star when the room is in the hundreds, not the thousands, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they've got it beautifully rigged up. The people are really nice. And joyous.
And is Stephen comparing?
Yeah, he was comparing.
Right.
So, of course, he knows the room. He knows Brighton.
Yes.
He's teeing up the...
The best hometown compare.
Yeah, and that combination of such interactive compare that's right, drawing people out. And also, they're such lovely people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's... And it was a great bill. Just good all round. Really nice here in Brighton. The only bad thing about it was rail strike. Getting there was...
So how did you get
there? Kafkaesque. Well, I was getting a lift with one of the other acts who was coming home again.
Right.
In the end, I came home with him, but he was doing a double.
Right.
He didn't have time to drop me off on the way. And the double was half an hour out of Brighton.
Ooh.
He was getting there about 8.
Right.
I was like, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So I had to get a lift with a total stranger who happened to be going on a trip with Stephen.
Right.
And she came down and I had to meet her at the end of the underground. Went down the underground. The underground to Heathrow Airport was closed for engineering works. Nothing to do with the strike.
Right.
So if you were in London on Saturday expecting to get to Heathrow Airport by train, which, by the way, I should imagine some people were.
Yeah, of course.
There weren't any.
Wow.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah, that's tough.
It does make things very difficult.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. And I did a lovely gig in near Fareham. And where was the other one? There was a London gig on the just a nice little run of weekend gigs. I got home from all of them. But the going to a brand new room like that one in Brighton, that was the pinnacle.
Yes, yeah, bit of rebirth. Yeah, I had a busy day on Friday.
I was in Vauxhall.
Oh, all right, yeah, Vauxhall.
Very nice, really lovely.
I drove my daughter to Leeds.
To the slaughter, yeah.
To Leeds.
Bring your daughter, same thing. Daughter to the slaughter. Bring your daughter. Let her go. Did you bring your daughter to the slaughter? Let her go.
It was a. Well, her saga about finding a flat in Leeds is finally over.
Oh, of course you were saying that.
After ponying up a year's rent in advance, and then on the day before, a month's deposit just asked for out of nothing.
Oh, yeah.
So moved her in, and I think she's going to enjoy Leeds, actually.
Yeah, well, it's a fantastic place.
Yeah, it is nice. And it's a cliche, but they are a bit more friendly, just slightly more friendly. She's already feeling the difference. And then I drove to New Brighton to do the theatre gig there, the Floral
Pavilion. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
The Floral Pavilion.
It's these bricks.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And the Floral Pavilion was fantastic.
Yeah.
Such a great gig. And then I drove home. So that was quite a long day.
Yes. But the...
But the theatre gig was beautiful. Yeah,
New Brighton, that's...
Yeah.
Is that on the Wirral?
It's on the Wirral, yeah. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
We're all going there.
Yeah. And, yeah, my daughter's got a job working at a school for kids with severe autism.
Right.
And she just started yesterday.
Has she done that kind of thing before?
She's done bits and bobs of that kind of thing before, but never at this level.
Yeah.
She's hoping to work for a year and then study for a master's.
Yeah.
And she said it was amazingly difficult, but also amazing. Just kids are like 8, 9 years old with a... You know, mental age of like eight months, you know, cats, pre-verbal, so difficult, but...
Just trying to give support and make some kind of contact.
But just really challenging, but fantastic, and amazing staff, and...
Yeah.
I think it could be really transformative for her.
Absolutely, I'm just getting... Look at these roots.
Beautiful.
I thought, I had to say, still quite early... Sorry, I feel like I've gone to the very mundane about the... But just where we are on the spot... It's greener. I thought we'd be seeing more brown leaves. We're not quite there yet, are we? They're only just beginning to turn and fall.
It's still very, very mild, isn't it?
It is.
Are you doing the we're never going to turn the heating on game at home?
No, it's worse than that. I just can't think about it. I keep reading about it and think, oh, yeah, that sounds bad. And then thinking, oh, God, it's going to affect us. You know, I mean, I'm just so... I never turn heating on.
Right.
I haven't got the... I'll get too hot and just sweat and not realise it. I'll get super cold and nearly pass out and then go, oh, I'm cold. I've got no sense of it at all.
Yeah, we're...
I always defer to my wife for what's going on with the radiators, what's going on with the house. We had a radiator engineer over yesterday because the radiator in my son's bedroom wasn't working, which we soon noticed when the weather changed. And I was just so embarrassed.
Right.
He's like, does this radiator work? I don't know.
My department, mate.
Yeah.
No, we haven't.
And I'd say, you know, Scott Bennett was doing some comedy about watching the smart meter. And we haven't got a smart meter. And I really don't want one, although I'm sure that obviously you can be more efficient if you've got one. I don't know. Turning things off, keeping the door shut.
We haven't had the heating on yet.
Yeah.
And it's become a bit of a sort of game. A tough game, you know.
Yeah.
Tough on a morning.
But why is it a decision? Why isn't it just set to a low temperature and if it gets that cold, it goes on? That's what thermostats are for.
Yeah, well, we're playing a different game.
Yeah. I can't bear thinking about it. Thank you. I can't bear thinking about that kind of thing. You know, once I start thinking about it, I'm not going to stop thinking about it. It's like looking at a watch while you're running. Do you know what I mean? I find that as an obsessive person, I find the possibility of worrying about it kind of slightly terrifying. But I know I ought to, so it's complicated. But well done. You haven't turned it on yet.
No.
Still pretty mild.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Got
it is
cold
still,
for a couple of days last week.
It is still mild, yeah. Yeah, we're just putting things under the door. And
In fact, the weather was awkward. I find it very awkward when it's really rainy, but it isn't cold. It just gets so sweaty. I've been using my running raincoat, which is brilliant because it's very, very light.
Yeah.
It doesn't really keep any heat in. It just keeps the water off. Still, if I go out in a sweatshirt, and look, that's a jay going off to the left there. It's gorgeous. And the magpie, morning magpie. Morning, two for joy. Two nice. For joy, Paul. As I say, what was I saying about obsessive behaviours? But yeah, when it's rainy and it's not cold, you just get so, you know, you get all showered up for a gig and you go out and get bloody, get sweat.
Well, that's the thing, there's another one. That's the thing often with heating in the winter. You put it on and it just makes me feel tired.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's quite
cozy.
It's hard to get it right. Get the balance right.
Get the balance right. I've got a song for everything today. I tell you though, I think your daughter's going to do really well in Leeds because she's an Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Bring your daughter to the sauna. Bring your daughter, little girl. Sorry, everyone. I hate adverts telling us how we can save money. I just hate the way. I just want to say, you shouldn't have to know, should we?
Yeah.
And it's just the way, that shifting of blame.
I get
it's so modern.
Well, I felt that on listening to the radio yesterday on Radio 4, and they were talking about some guy who ran a cafe and had his heating on full blast, but he had the doors open.
Yes.
And they were saying, oh, that's really bad behaviour. And then he was saying, you know, give us a shout if you've seen anyone wasting energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, have we not had enough of that shaming nonsense over the last few years?
Stuff, that's right. No, completely. And also, if you're a big company, no one's going to come after you. I mean, I can't believe it. Not that I don't want to be the person you were just saying about, but, you know, people who don't have the responsibility, i.e. my local Tesco.
Yeah.
You know, I can't go into my local Tesco and say, hello, I'd like to speak to Mr. Tesco.
Yeah.
But they've got all these new, brand new fridges. They've been in like a year.
Right.
They've got sliding doors.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to shut.
Of course.
They don't shut themselves. They're all always open.
Yeah.
If I leave the fridge door open for, I don't know how long, in my house, guilt.
Yeah.
Well, quickly get back to the fridge and shut the fridge.
Ours beeps. We've got a beeper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Tesco, no, what's your problem? Oh, you didn't shut the fridge. Oh, we don't pay tax anyway. Ah! And I know someone's going to get in touch and say, yes, actually they do. I don't care. It's the rhythm of the thing. Good, that was nice. We just came across the top of Primrose Hill.
So that's gone now, hasn't it? Like used to be.
Oh, that's where they blocked off. And as you can see, the grass here is transformed.
Yeah,
But look, that's a great view of London. It's good today. We've got this low cloud, but it's very mild and it's actually clear in the distance. So you get this kind of gold bar along the skyline.
Yeah, it's just
and also, I just got to say, I've just got a bit of a. I'm feeling very lovey-dovey about London after the weekend. I mean, the London Marathon
it's
is
beautiful
London
to
at
see
best,
it
isn't it?
Spread out
and you need something enormous like that to bring the whole place together.
Yeah.
In positivity, you know.
And is it back to April next year, or is it permanently?
Is.
Right, okay.
Should we do it? Let's do it. Let's do the London Marathon.
Let's see.
I think if I did sign up for the London Marathon after seeing it at the weekend, you wouldn't be the only one, hey? Of course, there's always the ballot. The trouble with the ballot is people who've done the ballot toss, and oh, here we go with the ballot. Just, you have to kind of, it's so defensive.
Yeah.
Well, here I am wasting my time. It's such a reasonable take, but oh, again, kind of depressing. I want to be happy, cheerful all the time.
Yeah, we did the first gig of the year. Jongler's Legends tour last night.
Oh yeah, how was that? Where was it?
It was at Southampton. A lot of those Legends gigs have been cancelled, has to be said, because they booked incredibly big theatres.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Bradford's not happening. Someone was going to come and see me at Bradford. Bridlington didn't happen. Apologies to old Hutchinson. I'll have to see him at the Coastal 10K.
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't happen. But the gig was lovely. It was just really nice. It's just half the tour. Which is no great surprise.
Yeah.
They just overbooked it.
Yeah. But were there lots of people at the gig you did?
There was about 150.
Right.
But there were
it's a 3,000 seat.
But they were nice enough. Not only 7,000. 7,000. And And of course,
I didn't... got to know all their names.
Yeah.
See you, Jim.
And of course, I didn't sit together, as you'd imagine.
Bye, Moira. I'm over here.
It was quite funny, actually. You saw a lot of people...
Have you got any seats in tonight?
A lot of people had booked seats on the end of rows to make it easier, you know. And of course, they're the only people on the row. So it was like, you get a lot of that. But it's me, Jared, and then you, Benjamin and Mike Gunn. And it's good fun. There's about 12 of them this month.
I can recommend
it. A lot of travelling. Yeah, it was.
If they're near you, you should go. If they're not coming near you, don't get in touch and say when you're coming near me.
Yeah,
it's really exhausting.
Yeah. But it was just good fun to do some gigs.
Yeah,
fun times.
Well, talking of squeezing down the row, we went to see. We went to cinema on Sunday afternoon. We went to see Truly Madly Deeply.
Oh, yeah.
Which they showed in memory of Alan Rickman with his book coming out.
Right.
Oh,
nice.
It's great. It's
I haven't seen that film in a long time.
Film. I mean, it's quite theatrical. It's of its time. But as such, I think those aspects of it you've been aware of on the day.
Yeah.
And I think within that context, it dates really well. Specifically, I remember really enjoying it at the time. But I just think I was quite young for it. It's such a tight... Wise film.
Yeah.
There's real analogies within it, you know, the echoes between, I don't know, things in houses and how houses contain memories and good and bad things. And
right.
You love the good and the bad. And also how it's very much about grief and it's really hot on it, but it's also about relationships.
Yeah.
And how they affect you and, you nice. Know, that's it. And the way you lose that, that's a kind of grief as well. And the most huge thing about it is it relies really heavily on excellent acting.
Yes.
And it's quite a light piece. It's not really a comedy, but it's very lightly played. But
is Juliet Stevenson in it?
She's amazing. Yeah. I think if you were having a competition for realistic crying in films,
yeah,
I think she'd be in for a shot at the most realistic good old sob in any film ever.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah,
when she has a good old cry with her therapist. What's the word? I always lose the word for this. It's such a... there's no vanity in her performance at all. But
raw,
and yet, but she's
humility.
Not overdoing it. It's just a snotty, messy.
Yes.
I'm trying to stop. It's real, and it's quite. As my daughter said in the best way, she said, "Why would you come? Why would you show us this film?"
Yeah.
<I'm> broken. I just got distracted then because that mum over there, that baby's, they've got a train here, climbing frame for the little kids. Just this tiny baby, less than 18 months.
Getting spat
just
out.
Threw itself out of that tunnel onto that steep thing.
Wow.
She just caught the baby. It was great.
Wow.
It's a baby's game.
Should we do some PBs? Have we got some?
Definitely. Oh, I was hoping. Last time we did major PBs, it was on the old table tennis table. We're going to do it again. And as well as the London Marathon, there are other marathons and other events on Sunday. But also, because I was excited about my Manchester PB, not PB, my Salford Parkrun, Peel Park Parkrun, I said, who else has done a parkrun? So we got loads of good parkrun results from last week.
Cool.
It's kicking.
Yeah, fantastic.
One other person I just thought of before I get them out is, what you got? You got some.
Guitar case, phone case, clothes, shoes.
That's my old shopping list. For goodness sake.
We got one through a guy, so I'm doing this from memory, which is always danger. Mark Hooken, or Martin Hooken. Blackpool half marathon, 1 hour 42 and 24 seconds.
Straight in.
Amazing, incredible. Yeah, he was wondering how he could get in touch with us, and in the process, of course, he got in touch with us.
That's
on
Facebook. You said you just have.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad you remembered it, because I was looking for that and I couldn't find it when I was putting these on the bit of paper. Yeah. So well done. Yeah. Also, another person I wanted to mention who didn't get a PB, but our friend who had a London Marathon, a brilliant London Marathon, I think, in the end, is Sophie Raworth.
Oh, yeah. How did she go?
She did a really nice interview with Gabby Logan on the finish line, and she was so, you know, like glowing with it. But she had a really tough one. Her calf...
Right.
Her calf was really hurting. She was walking
so dangerous,
on Tower Bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, way before halfway, she was like, it hurts to walk.
Yeah.
And the reason it really spoke to me is because she said, I was thinking, what station's near here?
You know what
I mean? She's thinking, I'll just hop the fence and go home.
Yeah.
Anyway, she plodded on. She got someone gave her painkillers.
Right.
It kind of cleared up.
Yeah.
3:52.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
She's
yeah.
She's strong.
She's strong, so, yeah.
And I got in touch. I said, how are you feeling? You know, brilliant run, great comeback. How are you feeling today? She said, I'm shuffling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I bet you've got to be careful with calves, running again since.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that
I
was.
I don't know how I feel about that, those tales of heroism. I mean, it depends. If it had pinged, then that's you're really damaging yourself there. But if not, yeah, then. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm a little bit about those.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's the marathon, isn't it?
Each to his own. Each
a
to
lot
his own.
Of people are going to carry on and then not be able to walk afterwards
yeah.
for however long.
Yes, yeah.
That's right. But yeah. I think that wasn't quite that story.
Yeah.
Yeah, some incredible stories. I also retweeted a great blog by, what's his name? Tim Fair? Sorry if I'm misremembering your name. But look at our timeline because he's been trying to run a 2:30 marathon for years. And it's a lovely blog. It really tells the story, the highs and lows. He was just saying, you know, on paper, I ran it brilliant and I got my time. But I know what happened.
Yes,
and what the highs and lows and how I nearly missed it.
Good for him.
So
fantastic.
Much energy. He got it by 7 seconds.
Wow. Nice.
2:29:53.
Awesome. And also we have to mention... In passing, the poor soul who died, bless him, between 23 and 24 miles. It hasn't been named, of course,
out
of respect for the family, but God bless him and that. Yeah, that's terrible. That's a real
shame. I mean, you know,
it's a lot of people running and things happen.
A lot of people running, it's tough stuff, but do take care. Like Paul says, if you're feeling, never mind your calf, if you, like, I thought back to that guy, I hope, a guy I saw collapse in Brighton, I just thought, you know, if you feel, if you're doing
anything sharp around your chest, just stop.
Take your body seriously. Don't ignore your body to get some numbers on the internet.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. These are like, these are signals. Do you know what I mean? It's learning the difference. Because I've had sort of like, sometimes I've been running and my heart feels a bit tired sometimes when I haven't trained enough and I've just pushed myself too hard.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between that and a stabbing. Do you know what I mean? We've all got to modulate ourselves, haven't we, in the moment, you know, make these decisions, you know.
And also not be, because training's great and everything and it gives you that kind of shape of things, but if things are different, things can change. And you don't know why they change. Because you're stressed or you're running faster than you thought, whatever, you can suddenly, all the rules can change. So keep your eyes peeled and absolutely respect it. If in any way you really suffered, if you had a horrible marathon and you're keeping your head down and these conversations make you sad, fair play. You got out there, you gave it a go. Here's to all the DNFs.
And there's always something to be learned. You know, I mean, I obviously had a classic crashing DNF at Race to the Stones, and you learn a lot from those things, and it's good, ultimately good.
I was saying this morning to Annie, how so we're saying, like, it's so easy when you've had a good one and you think, I could have done it better, and maybe you walk for a bit, to think, why did I walk? I could have, if I hadn't done that, I'd have done it quicker. And I think it's really genuinely, it's a toy, isn't it? Someone in a toy car. What the hell's going on over there? Hey, Gardner, I'm making a pertinent point. For goodness sake. In my experience, I realised looking back, it's so easy to go, well, if I hadn't walked there, I'd have done it 5 minutes faster. And it's so difficult to remember
how tired
that decision.
Right. Yeah.
How that walking, I mean, imagine, I didn't just think, oh, sod it, I might as well walk for it. But you think, I'm going to have to walk.
Yes.
That's the bit you forget.
Yeah. It's all very well, the good old Captain Hindsight, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there he is. He's behind you. Captain Behindsight. He's massive. Bring your dad out. Okay, let's do these PBs. First of all, Richard Harrison, who was really wrestling with the concept of parkrun, saying, I don't want to run with these people in Kim Ferret. I don't need to see numbers on a bit of paper. But he went and did his first ever parkrun in Coventry, and he got
25 minutes and 1 second.
So now he has to go back to do it a second faster.
Good for you, mate. Well,
you're
done.
In it now, Richard. There's no escape.
Darren Reed, half marathon in Melbourne, 87 minutes and 37 seconds. Well done, Darren.
Yeah, and he sprinted at the end towards the finish line, which
and then realised he had to go
250
metres
early. So
great.
It's Tom Cruise.
Always great to go early.
Ian, I think.
Yeah.
But if Ian, E-I-A-N, if Ian is not the way you pronounce your Ian, we can only apologise.
Ian Gault.
Don't know what your 5K time is, but it's a PB by 1:15, and that is a PC PB for Ian, who's come back from bowel cancer.
Well
so
done, mate.
A huge achievement.
Brilliant. Awesome. Awesome. This is James Smith, wanted 3:40.
Saw me on the cutty sock.
Saw you on the cutty
sock. Ahoy!
Apocalyptic fade to 3:46 and 8 seconds. Not a PB, but worth celebration.
Yeah, that's right.
You get a bark.
It was a PB, it just wasn't 3:46.
All right, okay, well, it's a PB.
Rachel McMahon was running at Redcar Festival of Running.
Redcar,
a half marathon PB of 12 minutes.
Awesome. Well done, Rachel.
Distinctly sub 2 to 1:55. Was that on Sunday? I didn't think there was any other events on Sunday.
No, it's only London on Sunday.
The other way.
I think you'll find
them. Here's one.
Neil Taylor.
Now, I had to put this one in later. Louise Jones got a PB at the Cardiff Half, and she hasn't told us how fast it was.
Right.
But it was late last night, and well done, Louise. Looked absolutely
a
great.
A 55-second PB.
Yeah.
Well done. Neil Taylor. She goes, Neil Taylor, 52 years old, Bristol Half Marathon, 1 hour 36 and 58 seconds. Well played, Neil.
Yeah, and by some incredible coincidence, he got a 55.
He also got a 50, along with Louise.
Except
they
Louise,
ran it last
Louise,
night.
Louise didn't.
They ran it last night.
That wasn't Louise.
They ran it last night together.
Together, Neil and Louise. Hello, Louise.
Neil and Louise together forever. We're not a poor couple, you are now.
Never
Welcome
met her, never
to
met her.
Running Commentary Wedding.
Helen
Easthope.
In London Marathon.
London Marathon, 5-minute PB, 3 hours 45 and 6 seconds. Well done, Helen. Kipchoge. Nice to get a message from him, isn't it?
Yeah,
they've been waiting
yeah.
for a while. He's been a little bit coy, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Been a
right.
little bit
he
reticent.
He ran the Berlin Marathon.
Apparently.
He missed 2 hours.
Yeah.
So
missed
unlucky.
A little bit unlucky
Faded
there.
In the second half.
Massive fade in the last 5 kilometres.
Apocalyptic
I don't know if you see
fade.
It. Apocalyptic fade. 2 hours, 1 minute and 9 seconds.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Having said that, he's wearing those new shoes, isn't he? So, you know. Do you know what I mean? The magic shoes. We could all do 2 hours one with the magic shoes, mate.
we couldn't. Congratulations.
No, we couldn't. Well done. Congratulations. Is he listening?
The Lab Monkey.
Tooting Part Run. All right, mate.
I believe the Lab Monkey, one of us is real. His real name is Daniel.
Have a bit on it.
Tooting. Seth London. 25 minutes and 16 seconds. Well done, Lab Monkey.
You want to go 16, 17 seconds faster and get under 25.
We have Marie.
Marie
knocked a minute off her part run PB at
Arrow Valley. That was it. That was when I asked. You see, I said, "Who did a park run?" No one did park run, did they? And Marie said, "I did. I got a minute off my PB." And then that's the last I heard. But
okay,
Marie,
good.
We know who you are. Arrow Valley. Congratulations.
And Kevin Hutchins, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Old friend of the show. Hi, Kevin. Nice to hear from you. Over a minute off the Oldham Park run, 23 minutes and 22 seconds.
Yeah. And that was the first time in a long time. Is there any other notes here? But yeah, No, there aren't any more notes.
I've
but
got
that was
no
over
idea
a minute off.
What all this means.
Pudsey Pumper. did the Bramley park run in 21 minutes and 30 seconds, which is a huge PB.
Well done.
Although noted that he was still beaten by 2 pushchairs and a child.
Yeah. Always. Always a sobering moment. Emily C. broke the 1:45 half in the Robin Hood half marathon, 1 hour 43 and 17 seconds.
Fantastic.
Well done, Emily C.
What an achievement.
And then this, I've got no idea.
David Pearson got a huge sub-3 PB. Got 25, 35 minutes off. It's 11 laps of Goodwood. It's one of those Grand Prix
marathons.
And inspired by reading your book. And then got 2:58:45.
Awesome. Glad to be with you. Well done, David.
Huge. Fantastic. Oh,
and
upset this dog.
And a PB from the dog.
That's so funny. This lovely little dog came to look at us again. I think wondering what's going on with our microphones. You're doing the PBs. And then suddenly the klaxon went off and the dog was quite upset.
Hi,
so sorry about that.
So listen, fantastic, well done. Well done all the PBs and all the people who ran, and we move into the autumn.
Yeah, and
fitter than before, other
events
stronger
coming.
Than before.
If that is making if nervous about what's coming next, I know there's people doing different marathons, there's not just Yorkshire, there's other stuff coming up. Just all the excitement is good, everything you're worrying about is good. Just it's all the journey.
Yeah.
You know? If you feel worryingly safe in your training, then you're going to be okay. If you think something's terribly wrong, chances are it isn't. Although it might be, that's fine too.
And if you crack and you put the heating on, don't beat yourself up. Don't be. It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right. You'll just need another job. That's
and
all.
And hey, listen. Assuming this, you know, we've had a little bit of trouble with recordings later. Sometimes we have, you know, we've lost some good, great content, and that's just the nature of life. But see, don't get it out yet. This is when it breaks. we are hoping to be at Highbury Fields Parkrun this Saturday.
Yes.
If you're listening to this at the end of the week and you're in London, come down. It's their 500th parkrun.
Yeah.
And we're finally giving something back.
We're volunteering, yes.
We thank ourselves.
Although we are taking our kit, we might run it.
Oh, yeah, we're hoping to stay in the barcode.
I say volunteer. Oh, but we managed to win it, first and second.
Yeah.
No, we're really looking forward to that. Saturday morning, Highbury.
And so get to the park run. Let's all talk about that. Keep in touch about Yorkshire. We'll talk more. Get in touch. I caught myself going, oh, yeah, well, I think you're fine, because I've done it quite a lot of times. So if you're happy for a bit of pompous knowledge, get in touch and ask me all about it. On the other hand, if you want to hit me up with some, do that too.
And if you want to say it's not the only marathon that day, you're perfectly entitled to
it. We'd love to know about that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.